Hello, fabulous people. This is Camille Forte with the Get a Hand Up podcast, because I am always trying to give you a hand up in your business. So today we are going to be talking about social media strategies for putting out fires. I know in business, almost anything that's unplanned can feel like a fire or a crisis. So we're going to talk about crisis management and why social media is the tool that you really need to have in place for when this happens and how to use it. So stay tuned. This is going to be a very useful podcast, but it would not be nearly as useful if I did not. I am getting. I started your intro. Seriously. I even gave a shout out to your San Francisco Bay Area and the fires in the mini podcast. Podcast would not nearly be as useful if I did not have with me the incredibly intelligent, the attractive, the eloquent Michael
Simon Belmont.
Dear Lord. Who will be known as Simon Belmont.
From Castlevania.
From Castlevania in this podcast.
Wait. My applause.
Oh, thank God that's over. Okay, so, by the way, if any of you know who Simon Belmont is, drop me a line and let me know. Just kidding. So, I did a little 8-minute bite-sized business podcast, and I do hope that you're tuning into them because it's sort of a, get a hand up on the go. It's like a snack size MBA in your pocket. So, but I had brought up the idea, especially with the holidays upon us. We're literally in the throes of the holidays right now. There's so much that can go wrong. So much. I mean, that's all year, but especially now. There is so much that can go wrong. And the question is, what measures do you have in place? I mean, when you work in your office, there's an emergency evacuation plan. Yes. You have HR policies in place if there's an employee emergency, I would imagine. So what about your business as a whole? What about a marketing campaign? What about a branding campaign? What about something that has to do with the public outward face of your business and something doesn't go right? I am going to argue that you need to have a social media strategy in place for putting out fires or handling outages or when things don't go as expected. Now, first, let me repeat that last week, Facebook went down. I'm sorry, I do. I find this hilarious. Facebook went down for a few hours last week. Some people may say, oh, it was several hours. It went down for a few hours. And literally people all over the country, I can't speak for overseas, but all over the country, people were calling 911. So first, please back up. If you've ever asked the question, do I really need Facebook or social media as a whole as part of my marketing strategy? Folks, if people are calling 911 because Facebook is down, that should give you an idea of how important it is. What if, let's say, for example, you are Cogswell Cogs and you're running a great campaign for the holidays? It's a giveaway. And if you do this and you do that and you click the share button, you get extra entries into the sweepstakes or what have you. But the platform goes down. And all of a sudden, you get flooded with a barrage of comments you know, saying, I tried to enter, I wanted to enter, or I got one entry in, but I wasn't able to use the share feature, so I didn't get my 10 extra entries. How are you going to take care of me? It can be a very serious issue. And in an instance like this, I think it comes down to customer service and having another channel, a backup channel, whether it is Twitter, Instagram, big one right now, well, for a long time now, but Twitter, in the event that, you know, like last week, it was Facebook and Instagram that went down for a while. But what backup platform do you have in place? Because people will come looking at your other platforms to see what are you doing about this outage and how are you going to handle it. Can they get a message into Twitter? You know, can they direct message you on Twitter in time enough to say, hey, you know, I'm trying to enter your contest? And that way you can message them back and say, don't worry, Mary so-and-so, we got your entry. We've got you taken care of. I took down your name. We're giving you 10 extra entries because of the inconvenience, whatever the case. Just when it comes to this, make sure that you have your campaign and sweepstakes rules very, very finely tuned. In fact, I wasn't going to mention this until the end of the podcast, but there was a time when social media first came out. I hate to age myself, but yes, I was there. It was called MySpace. Anyway, it was like the Wild Wild West. We could do whatever we wanted, you know, whatever your company's branding requirements were with the head corporation or your mothership, whatever the case may be. Social media was where you could sort of stray away from those regulations and design your page however you wanted to. You could post whatever you wanted to. That's not the case anymore, Simon Belmont.
Well, I just looked up an interesting statistic online. Actually had to ask a friend of mine that works at Facebook. Did you know that in 2017, there was a total of 97 outages of Facebook around the world, lasting from 1 hour to up to 12 to 14 hours in different parts of the nation and world? That's something very interesting, that Facebook being one of the most dominant sites on the internet, if some may even dare to say, a second internet in sorts, as an ecosystem of everything you need, from news to friends and families to sports to weather to shopping, that 97 reported outages that Facebook has reported on this year alone.
That's roughly, what, one every 3.3 days?
About 3.3. I can't add, so.
But, you know, it is a lot. It's funny that you caught that statistic, because from our perspective, we only see it when it happens locally. So naturally, I never would have thought 97.
And let me give some other statistics. A friend of mine that works with a company in San Francisco, they're running a promotion in which, you know, they use this as a portal to get more likes on, you know, on their YouTube channel, through Instagram, to Twitter, and so forth. For the 6 hours they were down running a promotion for a contest, they received over 393 emails in 1 hour of people complaining about, you wanted me to like your other social media profiles, I did, but now Facebook goes down, and I don't know if I won or not, or whatever the case may be. And because of that, here this number. In 1 day, because of Facebook going down and they were running a promotion, they lost 23% of their initial signups for other social media outlets.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
it's not a typical type of, you know, outage versus loss and, you know, gain, but this is something to think about.
Well, it is something to think about, Simon. That feels so weird calling you that, but Mr. Belmont. That's a really good example for a day-to-day type of thing, but it does get worse. I was in the middle of saying, yeah, I should point that out. I was in the middle of saying that social media used to be like the Wild West, and it wasn't regulated. The laws did not yet you know, dip their fingers into social media. And so if that had happened, say, 5 years ago, 8 years ago, it would have been only the loss of 23%. These days, guess what, folks? People can and will sue. They will. They will say, well, this was not fair because there was a platform outage and I very well could have been the winner of that giveaway or that contest, but there was an outage, and because you did not accommodate my email or my Twitter message, you know, look it up, folks. This happens all the time. And now that the FTC is involved, the individual states are involved legally in what you put on social media. I mean, we've all seen, you know, both criminal and civil cases where people were prosecuted for some pretty hefty stuff based on what they posted on social media. It's very much regulated now. So one of the little side tip I didn't plan on giving you, when you run a campaign or a contest, folks, it is worth it if you are serious about your marketing, or at least your CYA policy. We all know what that stands for. Get a lawyer to look over the guidelines, the rules and guidelines of your sweepstakes, because you need to be protected if something happens. Yes, Mr. Belmont.
Another notation for that. This does vary from state to state, so it's best to ask your attorney about your local practices as well as state to state practices for a national campaign. Again, this is, I'm not going to name any names, but a company that I work with personally that does marketing has to be very careful of how they market their sweepstakes in five, you know, states in our nation, because the laws are different versus other states. You may have to have specific rules. People say, oh, people don't want to read through the rules. Trust me, they read through it because they want to know, can they be eligible if they win? So it's something to keep in mind that if you're going to run a promotion on social media, to check your own state as well as accompanying states, and maybe even fine-tuning it to say anyone that's a winner in these five states, and you can look this up, you know, how the rules apply to them.
Right. Or what I've seen a lot when I've been sort of in the back end of a campaign, no pun intended, looking at the guidelines and rules. Sorry, there's just a little humor there. Sometimes it will state that no matter where the user is located, the laws and guidelines will be for this whichever state in which that company is. So, for example, if it's a California company, the fine print that you have to click that little checkbox and agree to before you click submit, which we all know you never click on that link and read it. I don't. You don't. Let's admit it. None of us click on that link and read it. But the fine print may say that no matter where the user is, the rules and regulations of the actual sweepstakes, giveaway, campaign, whatever, will all be according to California law. And so make sure that you have these things buttoned up. And you know what, Mr. Belmont, Simon, I would not be surprised if social media law becomes the next big, what would you say, specialization in the legal industry.
I mean, not to go off topic, I personally feel that this should have been more into doctrine about 5 to 7 years ago. If you look, let's kind of take a step back. You know, those that know myself and Camille, you know, we're in our 40s. You know, we've been to college.
How dare you?
I forgot. Camille's delusional and she still thinks that she's 23.
21 again, for the record. Thank you.
Welcome. So the thing is, 20 plus years ago in our society, the internet was still in its infancy. The internet for businesses, for most businesses, if not all, were just using it for information based on new products, new services, and so forth. This is the time where telephones, like paid telephones, were still out in public. The internet was still a dial-up and everything. And as the internet grew, so did business and e-commerce and so forth. we should have, as a society, start setting up these laws and rules back then, and rather than letting it become the Wild West as it is now, you know, we should have had regulations. Now, touching up on what Camille was saying, you know, due to time constraints, you know, one of the big things that, you know, again, speaking with the company that I work with back west, is they have a contingency of if Facebook goes down, or Twitter, or Instagram, or Snapchat. I mean, most of us use the big three. We use Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. But the question that Camille is asking, and I agree with the question, is what is your strategy? What if Facebook does go down for 8 hours and it's on Black Friday or on Cyber Monday and you're running a Facebook promotion? What is your contingency to work with if Facebook goes down for several hours, or Twitter, or even all three go down? You know, it could be a hacker attack or something, you know, happen.
There have been times, I remember it was, maybe a year and a half ago, all of Comcast went, or no, Verizon.
Verizon went down.
It was, something happened, and Verizon,
About 2 years ago, when Destiny came out, I mean, not for the gamers out there, when Destiny came out for the Xbox One and PlayStation 4, Sony's servers went down. And it wasn't just down for 1 or 2 days. They were down for at least a couple of weeks. And this caused a lot of rift and, you know, in the gaming industry, but... You know, do you guys have, I'm asking the men and women out there, you know, listening to the podcast, do you guys have a contingency plan?
That's reputation management, that's public relations, that's customer retention.
And at the end of the day, it's not going to be Facebook's fault that they didn't win a promotion, it's your fault.
Mm-hmm. Because every promotion says this promotion in no way has anything to do with Facebook, but only the company of XYZ that is hosting the promotion. You get my point.
Mm-hmm.
But the law did step in. And so you do have to almost, you know, have your lawyer look over your social media as well in instances like these, especially if you're running campaigns, promotions, holiday sweepstakes, anything like that, and make sure you're protected, because someone can come and sue you. If either they felt they should have won. Remember, it's America, guys. You don't have to be right to sue. You know, you just have to have a lawyer who's willing to take the case.
Exactly.
And even if their case is not justified, either, you know, in your own opinion or in generally accepted opinion, the fact is it's still going to drain a lot of your time and money if you don't have a backup strategy in place. Let's talk about a couple of other instances. Facebook is also now a job search platform. So what if you have an HR issue that may pop up weeks or months after that employee was hired, maybe even years, who knows? You know, social has been around for several years now. Obviously, it is not going anywhere. But what if you have an HR issue that dates back to that that job listing that was on Facebook? You know, that's a very serious matter. It's not just about posting what you had for dinner or the latest pic of your cute little baby or your puppy or a cat video. That's an HR issue. And right now, our society is very, very sensitive and, dare I even say, divided. So, you know, all your P's and Q's have to be in place. There's a reputation management aspect of it, big time. And that ranges from whether someone left a negative review on your page, maybe they left a negative review on their own timeline. You'll never see it, but it's deterring sales, it's deterring customers. Or what if it's posted publicly by an individual user, but you haven't been doing your social listening, and so you didn't catch it when it came up on the radar in sufficient time to address it and, you know, quell it before it started taking away sales, reputation, and trust. You know, I've been talking a lot lately in podcasts about trust as a multiplier of the value of whatever it is that you sell or serve. Another example, I had a friend who went on a short vacation to Havana, and his airline did not have a phone number that could be reached from Havana. And so how did he change his flight? Twitter. He actually was able to direct message the airline and have his flight changed via Twitter. That's a fabulous example of a company that has a backup plan in place and knows how to work it well. Another client of mine literally had what was sort of a crisis because they had been advertising on Twitter for years, and all of a sudden Twitter changed their policies. Sometimes it's not an outage. Sometimes it's not the platform just going down for a few hours. What if your platform pulled a game changer? What if they changed everything? You didn't get that memo until it was too late, and you found out that the reason that all of your ads have not been approved and haven't been running is because their policy changed and they no longer want to help you promote whatever it is that you're promoting. And again, this, you know, there's so much. I can't even begin. There's one niche example, Mike. I'm just going to, excuse me, Mr. Belmont. I'm only going to bring it up very quickly, but I recently found out. This is crazy. I recently found out that in California, for certain businesses, it may be a niche situation, but I still need you to understand the gravity of this. Any given user can speak on behalf of your company. And unless you catch it and correct it, within 24 hours or a given number of comments after that, you are actually held responsible for it. We were contacted by a company that was actually somebody had spoken on their behalf, offered their services. Company had no idea this was happening. And all of a sudden they get a call from their lawyer saying, hey, did you volunteer your services for XYZ? They said, what are you talking about? We don't even know what you're, why are you calling? But in California, there are actually rules where in with certain types of businesses, any given user can speak on your behalf and volunteer you to either give services, product, or charity to any given reason. And unless you're doing good social listening or you've got a good strategy in place to catch this, you will be held accountable for it and you will be made to provide. And Mr. Belmont, you were born and raised in California. I mean, tell us how crazy that is. I mean, how could that be?
It's just that when people see things and they start posting, other people believe that that person's representative of that brand or so forth. And unfortunately, there's been many a times where people were misled by others to go to places like nightclubs or promotions at local restaurants, and the restaurant or the nightclub owner saying, wait a minute, what's going on? You know, I never said this.
What do you mean it's ladies' night?
Yeah, exactly. And then next you know, if they're not honoring it, then there's a lot like a small class action lawsuit happening against the business. But, you know, we're kind of straying off topic here.
Well, no, I think that's actually another example of how the law has not yet entirely caught up with social.
Yes, I mean, and that's the whole thing. We could talk about the law issue all day. I mean, you know, that's there's so many problems right now with social media. But, you know, for businesses that are listening right now, you know, this is my, you know, as being a tech person, this is my strategy that Camille and I talked about of doing, you know, what if Facebook goes down or Twitter? Number one, having a dedicated person monitoring your social media. It could be a third-party company. It could be a person that you have working from home. Or for smaller businesses, just having someone that works with you just monitoring it every 8 hours, saying, hey, is social media, you know, is Facebook up? Is Twitter up? Is Instagram up? This fear that's being created that these things could go down at any time, the likelihood is very rare with the redundancies of servers now. and companies being aware of their outages and catching them right away, it's small, but having a dedicated person that's addressing social media is a good way to keep up on things.
Oh yeah.
Number two, if you have a bigger company and finding a dedicated person is very difficult, or you cannot find an experienced person to deal with this, it doesn't mean when you hire somebody, it has to be someone that knows what Facebook is. You have to have someone that understands the law, understands your local law, understands what you can and cannot do online, what you can and cannot offer.
And make sure you set the parameters. Sorry to cut you off there, Mr. Belmont, but make sure that you have set your own company parameters, because just like we were talking about, you know, some crazy California laws with social media, you don't want to just appoint someone to speak on your company's behalf if, God forbid, this happens. I do have some clients for whom I do social listening or social monitoring, either one. Phrase it however you like. But the point is, I am 24/7 watching their reputation, watching their comments, watching, you know, your occasional whack job who comes in and posts just something absolutely crazy, and making sure that that gets removed in a timely manner. And I have from them a very well-organized spreadsheet of pre-approved acceptable answers. Sometimes I do require a custom reply, and I reach out and I say, hey, so-and-so said this, what would you like me to say? But 99% of the time, I can go to that spreadsheet, choose an answer that's already been approved by that client's company, and I can take care of it for them, and they can spend their time doing business instead of sitting on Facebook and hitting refresh on the notifications page. Now, Mike, you mentioned something about, you know, dedicating someone, and I had mentioned in the 8-minute podcast that I was going to put a twist on this, and we only have a minute left, so let me just throw out a crazy idea. Pick a couple of your staff, the ones that you trust the most, and let them have a bit more of a flexible schedule throughout the holidays, where they get to work from home, say 50% of the time or 25% of the time. And in exchange, they do extra in helping to monitor your social media channels. Mm-hmm. I know that's a really hot topic right now. It's literally like a scandal that's going on, not a scandal, but a hot button topic, where there are people saying no, remote work is bad, and there are other people saying that, you know, you're too late, you know, that bus has already left long ago, because over 50% of our workforce today, folks, works remotely part of the time. You can use that to your advantage. You can either outsource some extra social media monitoring or listening. Chances are you can acquire that much more inexpensively than hiring staff in-house. Or, like I said, you can take some of your in-house staff, those that you have a high level of trust in, to work remotely, and they have a good work ethic, and they'll be more than happy to put in some extra effort in exchange for that flexibility, especially around the holidays. And they'll help keep your reputation, your campaigns, and everything on track. And that's really, really worth it. Mr. Belmont, anything? Because I think we should wrap up.
Nope, nothing else I could think of. Pretty much covered all points.
Yeah, that's a twist. Make sure you have that strategy in place, and then ask yourself who is going to execute that strategy, and make sure you designate them into that role and give them a good framework to use in helping to control that, so they're not just flying by the seat of their pants. So that is social media for putting out fires and being ready for the holiday season especially. I'd like to thank everybody for tuning in. Remember, money is replaceable, time is not, and I hope this was certainly worth it. Tune back in next time for the Get a Hand Up podcast, and always feel free to reach me. Thanks, everyone.